Good afternoon. It is, what time is it? It's 12:35 and you're listening to PMC Live, our call-in show with local officials from Petersburg Medical Center. I'm Taylor Heckert, and joining us today in Studio One here is PMC CEO Phil Hofstetter.
Hello.
We have healthcare software engineer Matt Powick.
Hello.
And Chief Nursing Officer Jennifer Briner.
Yes, hello.
Welcome. Thank you all for being here. If you're listening and you have a question for anyone here in the room, you can call our station at 907-772-3808. Okay. Got a lot to talk about today. Maybe Jennifer, let's start with you. I know you're here to talk about PMC's new telestroke program.
Yes, we went live officially yesterday morning at 9 o'clock with our telestroke program, which is a collaboration with the Harborview Medical Center. And basically what it is if somebody is identified as having stroke symptoms, we have a very definite protocol to go through to try to give people the best chance of a good outcome from a stroke. So we have immediate access via phone to a stroke neurologist as part of this program, as well as video telehealth conferencing. The stroke neurologist at Harborview can actually do an exam on a patient in our emergency room. With our provider, and then we together come up with the plan of care. There are things like medications that thrombolytics, so they are medications that like kind of bust open a clot. And a stroke is a clot, usually a clot in your brain. And so if it's given in a timely manner, which is in 4.5 hours from the last known time that that person was well, we can give this medication and it can likely dissolve that clot and bring back people's all of the deficits that they're having. It can reverse that. So that's the hope. And so we'll have this immediate connection to Harborview and be able to intervene more quickly.
Awesome. So that's going to be able to hopefully improve responses if someone in the community is having a stroke.
Yes. And it's really important for the community to be looking for these signs and acting quickly, even if they're subtle. So things like a loss of balance, difficulty speaking, your vision changes, weakness in your arms or legs, like I said, speech, terrible headache. You know, not all bed headaches are going to be a stroke, but like just something sudden and out of nowhere. All of these things can be a reason to just at least seek medical care. Because if we can identify it early, then we have the most, the best possible chance of having a good outcome.
It's been a long time since I've taken a first aid class. Isn't there an acronym for remembering stroke symptoms?
Yes, there are several. Oftentimes people have done FAST. We actually use BFAST now, which B is the balance. But we just want to make sure that if you have symptoms, come in immediately and that we will go through our protocol. And if if the person qualifies, we can give this medication to dissolve the clot. Other things that they can do is if we identify it early, but still like within 24 hours, and it's a certain type of clot in a large vessel, like a large artery, if you get to Harborview, they can actually go in and remove that clot manually. So, which also will allow people to have more functioning after their stroke. So there's a lot of things we can do. We can't always do something depending on the type of stroke, but it's always good to come in quickly and see what the best option is for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And being able to do this via telehealth, that's a really cool game changer, isn't it?
It's a game changer, and just the immediate, within 2 to 3 minutes, we will have our physician on a phone call with a Harborview stroke neurologist, which can take a long time if you're not part of a program like this, because you have to go through multiple steps to get together with a neurologist. So it's just this immediate, quick action. It's all part of their code stroke program that they have at Harborview Medical Center.
Mm-hmm. And do you know how common a stroke is in the Petersburg community?
I don't have exact numbers. I can tell you that when we went live, when we started planning this, we were like, oh, we only have a few a year. And ever since that conversation happened, it seems like we've had certainly more than usual. So, and it can happen to people of all ages, in, you know, all areas. So it's really important for all of us to be aware of the signs and symptoms of stroke.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, what I'm hearing then is we have this really cool new partnership with telehealth. Folks should come in immediately if they think that they are having any sort of stroke-like symptom. Is there anything else folks should know about this program?
I don't think so. Other than like Harborview is, you know, it's the leading trauma center in the Northwest, and we just really have, we're so fortunate to have access to their experts, you know, within just a few minutes. So, anytime if somebody comes in, please, if somebody can call first, we can even be more prepared when you walk in, but that's not a prerequisite. Just, you know, notify healthcare immediately.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Jennifer. Let's move on to Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
We're here to talk all things IT, I see. tell me a little bit about some of the IT work you've been doing with the new work building.
Yeah, so we, you know, obviously we're still kind of spinning that building up. But I would say one thing that's been really nice, I was talking with a coworker the other day about this, is just having kind of this clean slate up there of, you know, the infrastructure. We, you know, coming from a building that was built before the internet was even a thing to now this building that has been designed from the ground up to, you know, incorporate technology into the functionality of the building itself has been great. We have, you know, we've got a community computer lab going in up there that will be available to the public for, you know, job hunting and doing research and education. And we have a telehealth pod that we're going to be bringing online that will be a booth that people can go into to meet with specialists remotely, you know, to kind of piggyback off the telehealth that Jennifer was just talking about. We've got, you know, a couple of conference rooms that are up there that will, you know, be available to the public to book for different community gatherings and meetings. And, yeah, honestly, just having that kind of clean slate of getting to do things, you know, it's a very modern building. So it's been kind of a joy to get to work up there.
Dealing just with the whole old building and now getting something completely new is so cool. So this computer lab, how many computers are in there?
We'll have four workstations in there. And the telehealth booth is also in that space. We also will have guest Wi-Fi available. So if it's nice out and you want to sit out on the, you know, in your car in the parking lot or on the sidewalk, you can get set up there as well. So yeah, lots of options.
Yeah, that's awesome. A way to connect the community with the internet more.
Yeah.
And is there any prerequisite to being in there? Do you need to have been in an appointment or anything?
No, we're still kind of settling on a system for that. It will be similar to the library where it will, you know, you'll have come check in and if you're going to use one of the workstations, and then, you know, the guest internet will be just available for personal devices. So.
Mm-hmm. And you've been working on this for a while. When are all these things going to be online?
That's the million-dollar question. No, we're definitely closing in on, you know, having all of that stuff completed here soon. I believe, Phil, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're shooting for kind of October-ish for an opening to the public, and hope to have those systems online and going. We're making great progress.
Exciting. Is there anything else when it comes to kind of the IT infrastructure in the work building that's important for folks to know?
From a public standpoint, probably not so much. it's been a challenge to, one nice thing is that the network up there and the network at the existing Fram Street facility, we've got all of that integrated. So it's, you know, if you're on the network up there, you're on the network down at the hospital. The MRI is going in, and that has its own challenges tech-wise. But I was just talking with a friend of mine at the store the other day, how excited they are about having the MRI and what a great service that's going to be for this community. So every once in a while, I'll just kind of peek in there and look at it, because it's just a kind of an impressive piece of machinery.
It sounds like it's a pretty heavy lift, but there's a lot to be excited about then.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I likened the new building to a brand new fishing boat. It's like really exciting to have, but there's always going to be a few kinks to work out. But once you've got those things ironed out, it's going to be a pretty smooth running operation. So yeah, it should be a really good service to the community.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you, Matt. Hello, Phil.
Hello.
I've got on my list here. Let's talk about what the transition has been like into the new work building.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Where do you want to start?
Oh my goodness. I have no clue.
Yeah. So it's been going really well. You know, we knew it was going to take some work to get there to the transition. And I've been calling it sort of a soft opening, you know, this concept where we need to move up there, work through the infrastructure. I'm not a fisherman, but the boat model is very appropriate where we have to work through some of the issues. You know, again, I feel really fortunate that we're able to do this in a staggered fashion as far as getting this building. It's not patient care heavy, right? So we have functions, we have support staff, we'll have administration, HR, wellness, and getting the IT infrastructure in place to set the stage for the remaining phases is really, really key. So I think Matt is underselling himself a little bit on some of those, and the team that's working up there night and day, there's really to get things online. But it's just like when Matt was talking about the pre-internet, it's almost like an aha. Like I didn't really think of it that way, but it's so true. And what we're doing in the future of healthcare is really we're staging it so everything is software-based. Everything is hardware. Everything is technology from the MRI, which is extremely impressive high-tech piece of equipment, to the telestroke model. I mean, that's not just turning on a piece of equipment and going. That is building relationships. That is getting credentialing. There's a lot of training. When they turn the unit on in an emergency, it's got to work, and otherwise that'll kill telestroke in a minute. And I don't mean to, that no pun intended on any of that. But really, telemedicine in general is very complicated. In fact, sometimes it's more complicated than traditional healthcare because you have to have a level of support behind it and technology, which is really some of the has to work. You know, whether that's turning the equipment on, things like simple things, username, passwords. Screens, it's a very intense environment in the ER, so you got to be able to do that in a fashion that's seamless. And so going through the workflow with that, it's taken months to get that online. So, but I'm very, very excited about it. I mean, Jennifer, just having the relationship with Harborview and Airlift Northwest, the Medevac team crew, and just having that working partnership is really exciting.
And I know in some of the conversations we've been having as I work on stories, we've talked about how important technology is, especially for a rural hospital like PMC. Can you talk a little bit to why it's so important to have this like very technology forward approach?
Right. I mean, number one is security. You know, so we want to be able to have a framework and infrastructure. It's not just getting the access out there, but also making sure it's secure, which we all know. You hear the news, you hear things, patient medical records. You want to make sure that first and foremost that that's safe and that's secure. And that's a huge core element within this broadband project. Things that maybe we don't necessarily think about on a day-to-day. But that, to me, when we're looking at private sensitive information, safety is really paramount along that. And having a new building that's really, you know, again, when you're looking at the old building, you're adding on things, you're putting wires here, and there's all sorts of add-ons in that respect, making sure that we have a sort of an infrastructure and framework where we can start from the ground up, whether that's security with the network itself or security with the software that we're using. Those are, to me, that's sort of the, when I look at our fresh start on that, that's something that I'm thinking about quite a bit. When it comes to broadband and access and technology. And the second thing is you can't do anything without technology these days, right? So even our facilities and plant manager, Wolf is going to have to look at a computer dashboard or an application that's going to, you know, evaluate what's going on with the HVAC systems or heating controls, the generator, all those things will be something that'll be available. And guess who will have to have to call when there's an issue with that is, you know, is most likely Matt right here. You know, he's going to be, you know, we had a power outage this morning, you know, 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. So, you know, Matt was already at work at 5 a.m., right?
Ish.
Ish, yeah. So working on some of the issues related to what that does to our existing system, it wreaks havoc when we have a power outage on our existing, you know, main campus that then we have to have go in and manage and fix, mm-hmm. restart, reboot, those kinds of things.
You've been really able to rebuild kind of from the ground up then.
Yeah. I mean, everything, you know, and I don't want to speak for Matt, but it's like even the naming of the printers, for example, yeah. like, you know, that seems like such a basic thing, but. You know, if I am printing out a contract or a private document, you know, that seems basic that I want it printed in my office and not go somewhere else. I mean, it's just simple things like that on a day-to-day basis that seem very logical. But when you're building it from the ground up, you have an opportunity to really develop those things properly, have a naming algorithm and structure that makes sense, and that is very easy to use on the user side as well.
Mm-hmm. And I've been seeing a lot of announcements that some groups have already transitioned over to the work building. Who is in the work building right now?
So we have a wellness department. So Kinderskog offices, wellness departments in there full time. Public health, who is unfortunately, Erin will be here in the next one, but she's there full time seeing the community members and clients on their regular basis. Administration's up there, finance is up there, HR will be moving there soon, so we're in transition. Materials management is in kind of at both places, that's shipping and receiving, they're up there. Environmental services, so our cleaning, they have to go up there and clean the facility. And facilities is obviously up there, well, you know, is up there, and a lot of us are back and forth, so we're getting our steps in, we're getting my bike ride, I'm getting my riding time in, going up and down the hill. It's a little bit of a challenge, but it's workable. It's not that far when it comes down to it, but it is, you know, it's. I'll look forward to when that whole campus is built and we're all in one area.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything else about the transition of the work building that folks should know about?
I don't think so, other than that we're slowly getting online. We are still waiting for the state on the certificate of need with the MRI. We would love to tie in when all functionality is open to the public to a grand opening. You know, even our technology screens in the office or in the conference rooms that will be available to the public, we're waiting on that. Those will come in later in September, and there are some delays in things just out of our control with equipment delays and getting those landed and getting a team up here to install those. So just some patience with getting those online, and it'll be a slower process, but we're looking forward to when we could do a grand opening and everything will be available to the public.
So. Okay, sounds good. And in the last few minutes we have here, I see on my list, you're also here to talk about the Rural Health Transformation Program. What is that?
Yeah, so just, I mean, it's something that a lot of people have been talking about with the Medicaid cuts. There is also one of the, I guess, negotiation parts with that worked at the federal level was the healthcare transformation fund. And each state received a substantial amount of money and really is looking at healthcare and helping support rural health within each state. And so earlier in August, the state of Alaska put out an RFI, which is a request for information on what are some of the projects for the Health Transformation Fund. And I submitted through our grant writer, who's I have to give some amazing credit. You know, she's been on the air here, Katie, but she has really put together a document. We had a quick turnaround on that, but we put a 13-page document trying to hit all the points, including capital infrastructure for the next phases of the hospital, and we submitted that to the state within a 3 or 4 days of that RFI being posted. So we feel really good about putting that in there. And so a lot of the things that we're already doing, everything from a home-based health program, adult day program, continuum of care, telehealth, things, you know, on their youth programs. A lot of the mental health, a lot of the programs that we end up subsidizing or grant-driven programs, we want to develop into a health and wellness prevention model for future of healthcare, and what does that look like, and really using those funds to help transform healthcare. We have a lot of things that we're doing, I feel like, that are already in line with that, including technology. Technology was a core component of that. Bridging communities through technology is something we also put in there and wrote about, and how can we potentially move that to the next level with some funding.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing is some of the, after the changes to Medicaid were made in the Big Beautiful Bill, there was funding set aside for rural health care, and PMC is applying for some of that funding potentially
to fund
other things. And yeah. Do you have an idea of when you'll know if you get that funding?
I believe the state has a pretty short turnaround time to put a state plan together and get that to the feds to get it approved. And once that occurs, I believe that it's a 10-year spending window, as far as I know. This is just my information. I don't want to be an expert on this. It's just I'm regurgitating information I heard. So if I get it wrong, forgive me. But there's each year that gets to spend, there's 2 years to spend it out. So if we're looking at basically a state like Alaska, where we're not as big as some of the other states, obviously, but we're not getting a percentage of funding. We're getting a pretty good, healthy amount. We could potentially do some things that other states can't do. I feel like, and that's just my opinion, I feel like that also we're as a community hospital in Pittsburgh, we could potentially do some things that others can't do as well that are part of a system. And, you know, I'm always a big champion of change, and I feel like that's something that we'll see how it develops as we go. So I don't want to be too optimistic. Again, I don't have all the regs or the rules on what that funding will do to the state. But you know, the unfortunate side is what, you know, the question is, what is going to happen with Medicaid? You know, once that funding goes away, and you know, I really want to be in a position that we have something that can help transform healthcare locally.
Okay. Anything else on that topic that we need to touch on in the next couple minutes?
No, I think
okay.
We're good.
Perfect. Well, that's going to be all the time we have for today's PMC Live, which was with Phil Hofstetter, Matt Powick, and Jennifer Briner. Thank you all for being here. PMC's board meeting will air here on KFSK later today at 5:30. It is 12:57 p.m., and next up, we'll have a little bit of instrumental music and then Street Beat with Steve Barry.